test of faith in the heat of battle. In the name of God, the all-merciful, the all-compassionate. Salam, dear listeners, and today we present you a special feature on the anniversary of one of the crucial events in the history of Islam and humanity. It is the 15th of Shawwal, which reminds us of an armed encounter that was imposed by pagan Arabs on Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. This encounter, in which the Muslims suffered a setback and barely avoided defeated because of their heedlessness to listen to the Prophet, serves as an immortal lesson for believers in all eras and all places. Before going into details, we recite to you ayahs 166 and 167 of Surah Ali Imran regarding the Battle of Uhud that drew a line between the faithful and the hypocrites, those who defended the Prophet and those who fled to the battlefields. What befell you on the day when the two hosts met was by Allah's permission, so that He may ascertain the faithful and ascertain the hypocrites. When they were told, "Come, fight in the way of Allah, or defend yourselves," they said, "If we knew any fighting, surely we would have followed you." That day, they were nearer to unfaith than to faith. They say with their mouths what is not in their hearts, and Allah knows best whatever they conceal. When the infidel Arabs, with the connivance of the Jews and the hypocrites amongst the Muslims, assembled a strong force and marched upon Medina in the hope of obliterating Islam, the Messenger of Mercy had no other choice but to defend Islam and the honor and dignity of Muslims by mobilizing those who claimed to be his followers, in order to thwart a well-equipped 3,000-strong invading force of Arabs led by Abu Sufyan, who had concluded a pact with the ever-rebellious Israelites to kill the Prophet and wipe out the call of monotheism. The wordings of the ayahs that we recited to you indicate that the result was a setback for the new Muslims, in whose ranks were many a weak faith, and of course, munafiqin or hypocrites who failed the test as defenders of faith at the battlefield of Uhud outside Medina in 3 AH, a year after the Prophet, with unseen assistance from the one and only Creator, had won a decisive victory in the first ever armed encounter imposed upon him by the pagan Arabs of Mecca at Badr. It is obvious that the success of the Prophet of Peace had increased the enmity of the Arabs towards him and towards his ward and dearest cousin, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace upon him, whose flashing blade had dispatched to the bowels of hell some of the prominent Meccan warriors, the very same Ali who, on the night of Hijrat, had made the pagan plot of murdering the prophets Go'ari by sleeping on his cousin's bed so as to allow the latter to migrate to Medina undetected. If vain pride against mingling with the supposedly lower classes had prevented the idolatrous Arab aristocrats of Mecca from accepting the Prophet's call of universal brotherhood, it was racism on the part of the Israelites of Hejaz, whose forefathers had migrated from Syria to await the last and greatest messenger mentioned in the Torah, that made them spurn the heavenly message of the peerless scion of Abraham's firstborn son, Ishmael. On the eve of the Battle of Uhud, Abu Sufyan and the Banu Nadir Jew, Ka'b al-Ashraf wasted no time in forging an alliance against Islam, which continues to persist today under supervision of the U.S. in the form of Zionism. Thus, on the day of Uhud, prior to the start of the battle, Abdullah ibn Ubay and his 300 followers broke ranks with the Prophet and returned to Medina, leaving only 700 new Muslims to face the Israelite-inspired Arab force. Nevertheless, the Prophet, as commanded by God, resolved to hold his ground so that the heat of the battle against overwhelming odds will be a further test of faith for those remaining with him in order to determine who really are the true believers and who really are the weak of faith, if not outright hypocrites. It would be repetitive to refer to the valor of Imam Ali, peace upon him, in disposing of several Arab warlords, along with his equally brave uncle Hamza, peace upon him, and how, after the Meccans had been scattered, the guards posted at the mountain pass by the Prophet left their positions to join in the loot of the enemy's baggage, thereby allowing the infidel commander Khalid ibn Walid to attack the Muslims from behind and turn a virtual victory into a near defeat. The result was the fleeing of almost all the new Muslims from the battlefield on the assumption that the Prophet had been killed. Refer to Ayahs 144 and 153 of Surah Al-Imran. While 70 steadfast believers attained martyrdom, including Hamza, peace upon him, whose liver was ripped from his body by the Abyssinian Wahshi to be chewed by his mistress Hind bint Utbah, wife of Abu Sufyan, mother of Muawiyah and grandmother of Yazid. She was dancing and singing in the lute tones to inspire the pagans by offering herself as the prize. "We are the daughters of the night star. We walk on soft carpets. Our prance does admiration tell. Our hands are perfumed musk smell. Pearls are strong around these necks of us. So come and embrace us. Whoever refuses will be separated forever. To defend woman, is there no worthy lover?" Oh, His brave uncle's martyrdom greatly saddened the prophet, but he continued to hold his ground despite desertion by his companions. Later on, returning to Medina, he set the precedent for Muslims to commemorate the martyrdom of Hazrat Hamza, peace upon him, from the soil of whose grave the Prophet's immaculate daughter, Hazrat Fatima Zahra, peace upon her, molded beads and made a rosary when he rushed to the field of Uhud on hearing of the injuries incurred by her father. All books of hadith and history state that the lone person standing beside the Prophet of Islam and warding off the repeated assaults of the Arabs was Imam Ali, peace upon him. Later, some 13 other Muslims returned to the battlefield after being assured the Prophet was alive. As could be gleaned from the book Al-Mustadrak As-Sahihain by the famous Sunni Muslim scholar Hakim Naishaburi, the only one defending the Prophet was his cousin and son-in-law, Imam Ali, peace upon him. He has recorded a hadith that reads, Ali has four distinctions which no one shared with him. He was the first male who prayed with the Messenger of God. He was the bearer of his banner in every battle, and he was the one who stayed with him at the battle on the day of Al-Mihras, the Battle of Uhud, and he's the one who washed his blessed body and laid him in his grave. Later, the Prophet, while praising the faith and swordsmanship of his dear cousin, said that on the day of Uhud, Archangel Gabriel could be heard chanting, La fata illa Ali, la saif illa Dhulfaqar. There is no braver youth than Ali and no sharper sword than Dhulfaqar. No wonder the enmity towards Imam Ali, peace upon him, increased in the hearts of the hypocrites, whose ranks would greatly increase in the next few years as Islam spread through Arabia and the pagan Arabs, including those that had fought the Prophet, felt no other choice but to pay lip service to Islam, while their breast brimmed with hatred, in order to conspire with the Israelites against the blessed Ahlul Bayt after the passing away of the Seal of Messengers. These are the immortal lessons of the Battle of Uhud for today's Muslims, whose ranks are unfortunately split, while their archenemies, the US and the illegal Zionist entity, are preparing for the kill. In such a situation, only firm adherence to the path of the Prophet and treading the footsteps of Imam Ali, peace upon him, is discerning. Divine leadership will help them defeat the despicable enemies.